Our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 22. Our theme throughout this camp week is the new birth. And there is a very close relationship between the Word of God and the new birth, which is Spirit, the Spirit of God. When you hold the Bible in your hands, which is we've referred to as the Word of God, you have to be considered, how did we get the Bible? Well, we got the Bible by revelation. Revelation is a category of manifestation of Holy Spirit. God spoke to varied people, holy men of God, who wrote down what God gave to them by revelation. So how did we get the Word? We got the Word of God by the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. How did you get the Spirit of God? By believing the Word. We read a verse in Peter last night that says, being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth, forever. It's very interesting. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says the natural man, referring to a man of body and soul, in other words, a man without the Spirit of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That verse would seem to indicate that to be able to understand the things of God, you have to have the Spirit of God. So the two, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, are so closely associated that they really shouldn't be separated. They are really a part of each other. We got the Word by the Spirit. We got the Spirit by the Word. We understand the Word by the Spirit. And it's the Word of God that directs us how to operate the Spirit of God. There's a wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. And basically said, you're wrong, not knowing the Scriptures, nor what? The power of God. We need both. We need the Scriptures, and we need the power of God that comes from the Spirit of God. Sometimes Christians are all into what they would consider to be the Scripture, the Bible, and then they deny the power of the Holy Spirit. We have some wonderful neighbors that are very biblical people. They're very wonderful people. And we, you know, they've been great neighbors to us. They're Christians, born again of God's Spirit. But when we've talked about it, they, in their particular denomination, do not believe in the manifestations of Holy Spirit. They think that those manifestations have passed. Well, the Bible teaches that we need both the Scripture and the power of God. If you simply try to go by the Scriptures and never operate the Spirit, you can have sort of a dry formalism. Now, that's a nice way of putting it. On the other hand, have you ever met people or associated with people that everything comes by the Spirit? You don't really need the Bible because God's telling you everything to do. Oftentimes that can tend towards great problems in another realm. It can lead to all kinds of unsavory spiritual influences. The Word of God, the Scripture, is our checkpoint for spiritual matters so that we know what's right on, so that we know the prophet that God intends for our life. Remember, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture God breathed, profitable. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, God's Word is profitable. But the Spirit of God is also profitable. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a detailed description of that profit. It says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man, to profit withal, to profit entirely, or to profit altogether. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? To every man. Now, you know, that word every has to be understood, every man or every woman that has the Spirit. In other words, every Christian. How can you manifest the Spirit if you don't have it? It's impossible. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us to profit withal. The Scripture is profitable, and the manifestations are profitable. How are we going to learn to operate the manifestations? From the Scripture. The manifestations certainly help us also understand the Scripture. You know, it's interesting. The Word of God is the Word of life. All things that pertain to life and godliness. But it describes life to us, and it gives us a view of life generally. You know, for example, I can read in the Word of God that God wants me to work. You know, it's a part of being a human being, isn't it? God, you know, in fact, in Thessalonians, it says that if a person doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So God wants us to work. Now, let's say that you know that and you need a job. You can read in the Bible and you know God will supply for you. But maybe the specifics of where to apply for a job, maybe the specifics of what to do, how God is working in your life, is going to come by the operation of the manifestations. You know, a great example of that was my oldest son, Luke, and some of you are familiar with this story, but when he was entering his senior year down in San Diego, he wanted an internship. So he was praying, and he was looking for an internship in his chosen field, and he got out the Yellow Pages, and he started praying, or started looking at the category of engineering that he had been majoring in. And he said that as he was praying, all of a sudden, this one ad in the Yellow Pages just jumped out at him. You know, just got big. And so he called the guy. And the guy said, you know, this is great, but I don't have enough work to hire you. I don't have an internship. You know, and it was a single-man engineering firm. Now, at that point, what are you going to do? Well, what Luke did was, throughout his senior year, he kept calling the guy. He called him and stayed in touch, went and met the guy. And you know what? When he graduated from college, the guy had enough work that Luke was his first employee. He hired him. Luke knew he wanted to work in a certain field. You know, that is not revelation. But I tell you, sometimes, you know, when you pray or when something jumps out at you, God works in you to willing to do of his good pleasure. This example required him to stay put believing for about a year, which if you start working this, there's other manifestations involved besides revelation. But at the end of the year, he had a job. Now the firm has grown. He's got a great job, and he very much knows it came from God. So you know things from the Word of God, but we also need the Spirit of God. Did any of you pray when you got in your car to drive up to Camp Sierra? We did. Yeah, it's a good thing. You know God will protect you. But sometimes when part of that protection is if somebody's going to run you off the road, God might just say, hey, wait a minute, hold, slow down. You know, watch that guy. See, God works in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. There's a wonderful balance between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We need both. It says, verse 7 again, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then here, the one place in the Bible that lists what these nine manifestations are. And it has a specific emphasis on the prophet of each. For to one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's a revelation manifestation. Word of wisdom is guidance, it's revelation of what to do in a situation. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to know what to do? I mean, you know, maybe like often. Then you have to make some decisions. You know, some of the things you can very much understand from reading the Word, and God's Word directs us in a general sense. But there's great profit to the word of wisdom. And then it goes on to say, to another prophet, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. We can each operate word of wisdom and word of knowledge because we all have the same Spirit. In verse 9, to another believing, the manifestation of believing by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Hey, we've been having prophecy at each one of these fellowship meetings here at Family Camp, haven't we? Has it profited your life? I tell you, it's profited me. Boy, every time that I get in a believer's meeting and I hear God's comforting, God's encouraging words, it just so blesses my heart. See, that's great profit to the prophet of prophecy. And then it says, where are we? To another prophet, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, what? Wills. Now, there's a great key in verse 11. You will operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit that you will to operate. Each one of them are your operation of the God-given ability. We've got the ability, each one of us. We all got the same Spirit. That was another emphasis that we just read, right? It says, verse 11, one and the self-same Spirit. All of us. We all got it. But you will operate the manifestations that you will to operate. I at times have been in a fellowship meeting where I've called on somebody to speak in tongues and interpret, and they'll sit there and say, no. It's a privilege, right? You know, don't have to. But that person didn't will to operate. You know, it's the same thing with all the manifestations. You know, how much of it do you desire? How much of it do you want? How much do you want to grow? The thing that so blesses my heart is I know a little bit about what some of you have gone through to be able to get to this family camp. The sacrifice, the time off from work, the money involved, the other things, the challenges that come up. You know, I see Vicky back there. She came all the way from France. Some people have done some grueling road trips to get here. But for coming for a doggone good reason, to get God's Word so that we can live it, so that we can be profited by it. And a big category of the prophet is the prophet of the manifestations. I was talking with one of you earlier. This family camp is just a great location, a great environment to learn about the Spirit of God that's in you. If there's some of you that have never spoken in tongues, this is a great place to learn to speak in tongues. If some of you have yet to interpret or prophesy, this is a great place to learn about it. You know, it's the same with the revelation manifestations and the manifestation of believing, the workings of miracles, gifts of healings. This is a wonderful place to be able to grow and operate the Spirit of God. But it starts with a free will decision. That's verse 11. We've all got the same Spirit, but we will operate the manifestations according to our freedom of will. Another thing involved with it, at verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you, what? Ignorant. You know, certainly you can't operate something that you're ignorant of. You know, so you need some instruction. A couple years ago, Bruce and I did the whole family camp here about the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. Some of you were here. You know, all week we taught on the varied manifestations, all 9 of them. And this Bible is the instruction book for each one of them. There is just stunning, very specific instruction in the Bible about how to receive revelation. There is simple, clear instruction that even a fool need not err therein about how to speak in tongues or how to interpret, how to prophesy. It's all in the Bible. Don't need man's experience or anything else, but just what the Word of God says, and then you believe it, you will to do it, and you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit into manifestation in your life. Those teachings are available for those people who will, so that you need not be ignorant. So you overcome your ignorance, and then you start walking and applying and believing what God's Word says. And then God has made a great promise. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh," where? "In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You know, do you have favorite verses in the Bible? I know I do. This is one of them, for sure. You know, what's so great about this verse is it just says, God does this. You know, it doesn't say God will do this if you... He just says God works in his people. God works in you. Isn't that wonderful? God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there is a question on our part whether we're going to recognize it. You know, has God ever told you something and then you miss it, and then later on you say, oh my gosh, he told me and I didn't do it? Has that ever happened to you? Or am I the Lone Ranger? Oh. No, but God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does. We get the privilege, each one of us, of growing in our understanding of how the Father is working in us. But he has put his seed in us. It's God in Christ in you. And God works in his people. Now, as we receive that working, that information, then it's our privilege to do it. And that's what the next verse says. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what that context, those all things are the things that God's worked in you. Do it. Okay. Recognize it as God. Do what God says to do. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't dispute. Just do it. That's what God's Word says. Look at Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, excuse me. The Bible is filled with examples and also with detailed instruction as far as the operation of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Now, you have to recognize that 3 of the 9 manifestations that we have the privilege of operating are new since Pentecost. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I'm not going to make the joke about them driving a Honda, okay? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, when you back up into the Gospels, you can understand readily that Jesus Christ had been preparing his apostles for this day, that he had been teaching them repeatedly to get them ready for the coming of Holy Spirit. A couple of very phenomenal things happened that indicated to these 12 men that this was the day, that this was the time. Now, verse 2, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the temple area where they're sitting. Verse 3, cloven tongues like as a fire that split and sat upon each of them. Might have indicated something's going on, right? Verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is the first time in the history of the universe, the history of mankind, that anyone has spoken in tongues. It's 12, first time. So speaking in tongues is new with the coming of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In other words, it's new to this administration, new to grace administration. If speaking in tongues is new to the grace administration, then you have to say that interpretation of tongues is also new, right? It's also true of the manifestation of prophecy, because there was prophecy prior to Pentecost, but if you read the records where the prophecy is mentioned, it's prophecy, not the manifestation of prophecy, but prophecy by revelation. So there's three new manifestations that come since Pentecost: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, isn't it interesting that when you start reading the church epistles, that there's very little description of how to receive revelation, for example. There's very little description of how to operate the other manifestations. But when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there is a detailed description of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Prophecy. Why isn't there a detailed description of the other six? Because they've been explained prior to. That's why in teaching about revelation, in teaching about operating gifts of healings, workings of miracles, manifestation of believing, oftentimes the source for that teaching comes from either the Old Testament or the Gospels, because God covered it back when it was available prior to Pentecost. The three new ones are given to who? The church. So they're explained in the church epistles. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1, it says, follow after charity, or after agape, the love of God, and desire things of the Spirit, but more and more that ye may prophesy. Now, when you read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, there's a couple words that are used a lot in this particular chapter. One is the word church, and the other is the word edify or edification. 1 Corinthians 14 is about what we're to do when we get together. In other words, the church. Okay, like, you know, here, this is the church. What we do when we get together. And specifically what this chapter is about is how, when we get together, that everybody is to get edified. So that's why it says right off, desire more and more that ye may prophesy. Because prophecy is what brings edification to who? The church. Verse 2. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now this would be talking about speaking in tongues in your private prayer life. Verse 3, but he that prophesies speaks unto who? Men. Speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. Have you ever stopped and really listened to these manifestations in the fellowship where you really just, you know, pay attention, maybe even take notes and write down what was said? You know, when they're right on, they will always be comfort and or encouragement. And both of those aspects produce edification, building up. When God says to us, I will never leave you and I will never, never forsake you, what is that? It's comfort. Isn't that comfort? You know, when God says, be bold, what's that? It's encouragement. You will never hear in the manifestation when they're right on things like, you're no good, or, you know, quit sinning like you did last night, or... It's not too edifying, is it? No. But boy, when the church gets together, what do we need? God's desire is we get edified, that we get built up. I don't want to go to a church where I'm not going to get built up. And boy, there's no better way than with tongues with interpretation and prophecy. See, because it's from God. And then it says, verse 4, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Again, that would be when you speak in tongues in your private prayer life. It builds you up in the inner man. It edifies you. But he that prophesies edifies who? The church. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. If any of you have never spoken in tongues, you might consider verse 5. Because God says, I would ye all do what? Spake with tongues. Kind of simple. On the day of Pentecost, how many apostles spoke? Oh, they all did. They all spoke in tongues. God would have all of us to speak in tongues because we all can. We all should. We'll all be profited by it. But then it says, but rather that ye prophesied. Now, again, remember the context of 1 Corinthians 14 is in the church. See, what's desired to occur in the church? Prophecy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Boy, you ever stop and consider what a wonderful ability you have in the new birth, that you, by the Spirit of God, can bring edification from our Heavenly Father to everybody present in a fellowship meeting. I mean, what an ability. How terrific is that? And that's God's great desire, is that everybody get blessed, that everybody get edified. We have that ability, each one of us. You know, with that in mind, look at John chapter 14. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about the great benefit and blessing of prophecy and tongues with interpretation in the church. But how about the profit of speaking in tongues in your private prayer life? Can anybody think? What's one great category of profit of speaking in tongues? I see a hand. Debbie? Gives thanks well, right? Give thanks well. Andrew? Perfect prayer. How about that one? What kind of prayer? Perfect prayer. You know, prayer in the Spirit. What's another? Samuel? Yeah, that's in the category of perfect prayer. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but God gives us prayer. Yes, Hannah? Yeah, it's not so much in the category of the renewed mind, but it certainly helps us and blesses us. Yeah, what? Yes, Sophie? You get some fruit of the Spirit. Produce fruit of the Spirit, yep. Kim? Yep, which is in the category of prayer, right? Yes, Bob? Praise to God. How about praise to God? Yeah, I mean, Debbie mentioned, speak the wonderful works of God, right? That's praise. That's praise. You know, magnify God, right, from Acts 10. Magnify God, that's praise. Yeah. Yes, now let's consider that. Speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers when? When interpreted in a believer's meeting. That's right. Because otherwise, if it would have that prophet without interpretation, then we could just walk up to somebody and say, Lo shanta malakasito. Yep, here's a sign to unbelievers. No. No, that's not how it works. Yeah, when you refer to speaking in tongues as being a sign, you have to understand that that is in the category of tongues with interpretation. Yeah, what was the other hand? In the inner man, we just read that when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself, right? Strengthen you with might and by spirit in the inner man. Yeah. Mary? Speak to God divine secrets. But again, you know, many of these that you're mentioning are in the category of worship, in the category of praise, in the category, when you speak the wonderful works of God, what is that? That's praise. It's worship of God. When you magnify God, it's worship of God. It's the true worship that God desires. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, this one hasn't been mentioned yet. It's proof to you of what? That you're born again. How about that one? How important is that? You know, gosh, I remember when I was first taught the accuracy of the word, the teacher said, I want to get you to the place that you know that you know that you know that you know. You know, you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you from going. And I have proof in this class. And I remember thinking, God, what does he have? What does he have, like the Shroud of Turin or something? What's the proof, you know? Yeah, we do have the proof. You know, we've got the witness born within. You know, that we're born again. Man, you know, how comforting is that? Have you ever, you know, wondered? You know, I know. I used to, you know, wonder. God, you know, I'd wonder when I got in trouble. You know, I'd sort of lie in bed and pray and think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm really not going to get to heaven now. And you know, but there's a lot of people that don't know. They doubt. They don't know of their sonship. They don't know that they have the Spirit. But man, speaking in tongues is proof of that. It's proof of the new birth. You absolutely know that you know that you know. You know, recently I heard someone that had been so hurt by a loss of a loved one. But they had the great comfort because they had heard that loved one speak in tongues. So they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that person, they're going to see at the gathering together. How great a comfort is that? How terrific is it to know that we have the Spirit of God, that we're born again of God's Spirit, and when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going home. Great prophet of speaking in tongues. Remember, this is new since Pentecost. This is something that wasn't available prior to Jesus Christ accomplishing redemption and making the gift of Holy Spirit available. Well, with that in mind, let's read John chapter 14. Because it says in verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me... Hey, I think we fit that criteria, don't we? He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also. Now, that is huge. You read in the Gospels about the works that Jesus Christ did. You know, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out of devil spirits. You know, the works that I do, the believer shall do also. Well, you know what? We can. Now, the example of Jesus Christ is just, I mean, so the frequency with which he did the works of God, the consistency, the perfection of his walk with God is just awe-inspiring. But you know what? Each one of us can heal people because we have the manifestation of gifts of healings. We just read it. Each one of us can work miracles. Each one of us can raise the dead. Each one of us can cast out devil spirits. Jesus Christ did it, and this verse says that we can do it too. Now, I know when you read it, for me, it's just so big, it's so huge that it's just, you know, what a privilege to grow into. You know, it's just a great thing to see what we have the ability to do and how our Heavenly Father has so enabled us. If this verse just stopped there, it just, you know, okay, that's enough. I got a lot of stuff to work on. But it goes on. It says, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. We just spent a little time talking about the three manifestations that have come since Pentecost. The three utterance manifestations of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy fit into the category here of greater works than what Jesus Christ could do when he was here upon earth. Jesus Christ couldn't speak in tongues. None of his apostles could do that during that period of time. It wasn't available. Now we can worship God perfectly via the Spirit. Now we can pray to God perfectly via the Spirit. Now we have proof of the new birth. The new birth didn't come until Pentecost. That wasn't available to prove. We've got proof of it. We can speak in tongues and interpret, and when we do, it's a sign to unbelievers. Some of you know a couple of our sons got married in the last year. Well, Joey and Kristen got married in September, and then our Davy and Amy got married in May. And in the wedding ceremonies, we had speaking in tongues with interpretation. And gathered at both ceremonies were a lot of people that would fall in the category of unbelievers. You know, some of them Christian, but a lot of, you know, people that just didn't know very much. And boy, it was amazing the response we got from people when they heard those manifestations. They said, you know, this one couple have been neighbors, friends of ours for years. They came in, and this was a couple months afterward, and said, now what was that in the, you know, they wanted to know. One of Davy's friends from high school that Luke described as the greatest unbeliever he ever met, said, what was that? You know, how did he do that? What was that about? Why? Because it's a sign to unbelievers. Grabs your attention, doesn't it? Remember the first time you went to fellowship? Can you hear it? What was that? It's a sign to unbelievers. Couldn't do that. Greater works. How about the ability when we get together that everybody gets words of comfort and encouragement so that the whole church is edified by interpretation of tongues and prophecy? In the category of greater works than what Jesus Christ could do when he's personally here. It doesn't say that they're harder. It doesn't. It says greater. Boy, what a privilege is ours. And, you know, one of the things as I study this field and as I'm learning and growing and understanding the manifestations is it's something we're not going to exhaust. It's not something like you say, oh, yeah, I got that handled, and I'm going to move on now. You know, man, look at the example of Jesus Christ. Look at his walk with God. And each one of us have the privilege of following in his steps. Look at Mark chapter 16. But again, these manifestations are the result of learning the Word of God accurately so that you need not be ignorant. And they're also the result of your free will operation of the Spirit that God gave you. The Spirit isn't going to come in and control and take you over. You determine to operate the Spirit. In Mark chapter 16, some of the last words of Jesus Christ, he says in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned or shall be judged. You know, we have been commissioned to go into all the world. You know, every part of it, any part of it, and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, anybody, anywhere, anytime. We also know from reading this that there's going to be two responses to the Word of God. What's one of them? One's some people are going to believe, and what's the other one? Some people aren't. Boy, isn't God's Word so clear, so great? You know, don't be surprised if some people don't believe you, right? But on the other hand, don't be surprised when some people do. And it says, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with what? New tongues. You know, it's interesting, with new tongues to that individual. And when you speak in tongues, it's a new language to you. It might be a known language to somebody else, but it's a new tongue to you. Here it's in the category of a sign. It's speaking in tongues. And then it says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know, that's in the category of miraculous protection. There's a record in, I think it's Acts 28, where Paul was gathering wood and a viper came out and bit him. And, you know, the people thought he was a murderer and that he was going to die because of his bad karma. Did you ever read that record? You know, and then he didn't die. He didn't even swell up. And so instead of him being a murderer, they figured he was a god. But really, it was just a fulfillment of this. You know, miraculous protection. You know, if you would accidentally, you know, take up a serpent, or if you'd accidentally drink any deadly thing, you're protected. And it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Gifts of healings. See, in other words, as we go into all the world and share the light of God's Word, some people are going to believe and some people aren't. But signs, miracles, and wonders will follow the believing of God's Word. If you really want to learn how to operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, a great way to do it is get up and go and start speaking the Word. You know, that's when the fun starts. You know, you start seeing people that believe, people that don't. I got so blessed, the cook and Edgar, some of you probably met Edgar, the cook in the dining hall, he was so blessed after we sang those songs at lunch today. He saw that I was a little out of breath, so he came and brought me a bottle of cold water, and I was drinking the cold water, and he said, he hugged me, he said, I'm so happy, I got Jesus in my heart. Yeah. It's great, you know. But, you know, you go, you start sharing the Word with people, and then some people believe and some people don't. But then great things follow the believing of God's Word. You know, including the operation of the manifestations, like speaking in tongues, like the workings of miracles, like gifts of healings. You know, that's the book of Acts. You know, that's the church now. Every one of us empowered by God to operate His power. Every one of us having the Word of God so that we can share it, so that we can believe it. It says, verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, verse 20, did what? Went forth. See, He had said, go. And you know what? They were just simple enough that they went. And then it says, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Remember what we read in Philippians? For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. We have great power in the church. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. We also have the great Word of God to direct our steps, and that is light that we can share with the world. As we take this Word of God and believe it, and as we take the Spirit of God and operate, great things occur. It's the fulfillment of our Father's will It's what God would have us to do until Jesus Christ comes back. And it's such a great category for us to continue to grow in. This is a wonderful week for us to grow in our operation and understanding of the manifestations, and certainly is a great week for us to grow in our understanding and operation of the Word of God. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful Word you've given us, and Father, for the new birth spirit that enables us to carry out your works and the works that Jesus Christ once did here upon earth. And Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can grow and share together, that we can overcome any impediments to our growth, and that we can continue to just manifest your love and your power unto the world. Father, we love you. We're real thankful for the night, this day at family camp. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.